Blog Talk Radio.
Like the folks you meet on, like to plant my feet on the Brooklyn Bridge. What a lovely view from heaven looks at you from the Brooklyn Bridge. I love to listen to the wind through her strings, the song that she sings for the town. I love to look up at the clouds in her hair. She's learned to wear like a crown. If you've been a rover, journey's end lies over the Brooklyn Bridge. Don't let no one tell you I've been trying to sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. All the folks in Manhattan are sad, 'cause they look at her and wish they had the good old Brooklyn.
Welcome to Howes New York with Brooklyn real estate attorney Robert Howe. Tonight we're doing a summer news recap. We're looking back at the top real estate stories from Brooklyn from July and August. And stay tuned for our host, Robert Howe.
Don't let no one tell you that I've been trying to sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. You'll miss her most when you roam, 'cause you'll think of her and think of home, the good old Brooklyn Bridge.
It's Howes New York with Brooklyn real estate attorney Robert Howe, and here as always is our host, Robert Howe.
Well, welcome everyone to Howes New York. I'm your host again, Robert Howe, and as always, we talk about a multitude of topics, including real estate, community, politics, and any hot topics of the day. We're broadcasting from an undisclosed location in Brooklyn, New York, to a potential audience stretching from Longyearbyen, Norway, to Ushuaia, Tierra del Fuego, thanks to the power of Blog Talk Radio. I'm here with my executive producer, Jason Versace, of Rising Tide Marketing, and as Jason mentioned, tonight is our recap, probably better called our summer recap, and I think the topic that Jason has scoured the internet, the find articles, probably is better entitled "Keep Buying in Brooklyn," and we'll let Jason tell us about some of the articles that he's found for tonight's recap.
Well, we haven't been on summer hiatus. There weren't any reruns. We just figured we would do a summer recap instead of going July and August, but we're going to combine the news stories, the best news stories that were out there in Brooklyn real estate for the dog days of summer.
Jason, you can tell them the truth that we were summering in the Hamptons and just didn't want to come back.
We were looking for that rain
to Brooklyn.
We were looking for that the El Dorado, that the piece of land in Brooklyn that's reasonably priced. So we have some pretty positive stories. I think if you had to title this episode's recap, it would be "You Only Make Money When You Spend Money." And that's what you said is buying, and you know people are still buying. They're still looking to buy. We haven't really hit any downturn in any of the sectors. If you're looking at residential, commercial, it seems like commercial seems to be the biggest growth in Brooklyn real estate, at least lately. The first story is from I think it's Biz Journals. It was also in Crain's, the same story about DH Properties buying a big real estate developer buying a huge chunk of property for almost $300 million, and they describe it as waterfront property. And that kind of piqued my interest when I said developing waterfront property, and especially in this case for commercial use, and then the waterfront that they're referring to is the Gowanus Canal. So I don't know if that qualifies as waterfront property.
This is really pretty funny. Yes, waterfront property. I wonder if these developers are from the Midwest and responded to an ad in the newspaper. Hundreds of acres of Brooklyn waterfront for sale, and they said we just got to have this. But you know, the interesting thing about two things popped out on me in this article. Gowanus is still growing. And every time you hear the word Gowanus, you hear super fun cleanup site. I just don't get how they're dredging. Now they're dredging the canal to get all the contaminants, or at least a level of contaminants off there. And then they're going to seal it with a layer of sand as a cap, they call it. And then it'll be good as new. Boy, you know, that's... That's really interesting. And the second thing that pops out at me is we have never talked on this show about warehouses being built or developed. Usually we're talking about warehouses being repurposed, you know, for residential condos and workspaces, collaborative workspaces and incubators and things like this. This is the first time people are talking about making an actual warehouse in an industrial space. Go figure. What do you think, Jason?
You're right, and it does really call out, you know, Brooklyn, this area, developing warehouses along with Staten Island's corporate parks being turned into fulfillment centers and distribution hubs. And we've said it that they're coming, and now it looks like they were serious, that the Amazons and the IKEAs that they're mentioning here, they're coming and putting in these mega hubs, these big footprints that they're buying up space for in downtown Brooklyn. And we were true to our word. That's what's going to happen, and that's what's happening. And then this is turning into, who knows, we might see the return of the dock workers, you know, downtown Brooklyn.
They'll be shaping up for, for their jobs early in the morning.
These are high-tech dock workers.
Yeah. They'll all have iPads and mm-hmm. and telecommunication, wired to them. But this is really... if you forecast this 10 years ago, someone would say, nah, you're crazy. Warehouses are never going to come back. These people who have warehouses are just about getting by, renting them out to, truckers who have to store their trucks off the street, or hot dog vendors who have to bring their carts in at the end of a day. And then, of course, along comes some developer and says, hey, I'm going to buy your warehouse and put a workspace in there, or I'm going to build them into units, and that went on until just about now, when this developer comes along and says, I'm going to build warehouses. And of course, you can see there's an awful lot of stuff. Although we're not making it, we are redistributing it in the New York City metropolitan area, and I guess warehousing and storage and distribution is now a pretty important part of the New York landscape. Of course, in Staten Island, apparently you have this huge Amazon site for for distribution. And although they use the words, I like this, fulfillment center. So I wonder if that word fulfillment will ever filter over into residential, where you buy a residential fulfillment, you know, apartment, where it'll have just about everything you've wanted, machines that cook for you and take your dry cleaning out, and pools and movie theaters, a residential fulfillment center. Well, right now we only have commercial fulfillment centers. So, but getting back to the point, there's a lot of stuff moving around, and it's got to be housed or held somewhere as people are clicking away, you know, online. But it was a pretty interesting article. I figured I was going to, when I saw the headline of developer scoops up waterfront property, definitely hotels, condos were going in there. But, industrial space, warehouses, boy, that's a word we haven't heard for a while. A good sign, though. We need a mixture of everything. And some areas are meant to be, you know, commercial. That's why they had... You know, that's why there's zoning, and you need a mix of all different types of businesses.
Well, I guess it is a good, very good indicator of the health of the geographic location, if it's such that it can afford these mega outfitters with the desire to come in and buy up office space and buy up, you know, footprints for them to get their product into the hands of not really looking to so much reach other countries or the rest of the country, but this particular market. I think the growth of Amazon and the advancement, even though whenever I order a book from Amazon, it comes damaged, so I don't know why where it's being fulfilled, but they must be kicking it around. But the amount of people who I talk to on a daily basis who talk about Amazon Prime as if it was the greatest thing since sliced bread is staggering. It seems like everybody has and they don't care what they're getting, they're buying, but I think the days of the internet businesses projecting and forecasting online businesses and online transactions, dealing solely with virtual reality or virtual reality products, or you're going to buy everything, all your content, books, music, movies, whatever, is going to only solely exist in this cloud, and you're never going to have, people want tangible. I think the tangible hard goods industries are thriving, whether or not you're actually going to a physical mall to buy a product. People want their stuff, and I think that the fact that Amazon is going to afford them the ability sometime, maybe even now or in the very near future, is that you can get same-day delivery. So if you're going to do that in the greater metropolitan area in Brooklyn, I think they really want to have a foothold in Brooklyn, you're going to need some pretty heavy-duty space. And I guess the Gowanus waterfront property probably is better served for industrial commercial use than for, you know, beach houses.
Yes. Funny article. Good hunting on this one.
Yeah, and you know what? It was a big enough story that it appeared in quite a few, like I mentioned, it was in Cranes. So it's getting noticed, this topic, and it's being looked at more and more. And our next story is another positive story. It comes from GlobeStreet.com. Talks about a panel of the best and the brightest developers and real estate folks, and they're talking about, you know, there's still time to get in, to buy, you got to do it quickly, and you got to really, really fine, but you know, people are buying and they're not holding off, and you really need to get in and do it quick.
Yeah, you know, they're talking about $2,000 a square foot, and a term absorption. You know, how many units are closing in a month is still high. And although they're talking about downtown Brooklyn, you know, there are places where, you know, development, you know, is going on. You know, John Catsimatidis is apparently doing a 440-unit development on Surf Avenue in Coney Island. And, you know, many people are mentioning that, you know, Brooklyn affords the opportunity to get on the train, leave your Manhattan or downtown Brooklyn job, and end up in sort of like a beach community. Michael Stoller, the moderator, however, threw a little cold water on that. He said, with the exception, that's a schlep, yeah. Meaning it's a hike. But, you know, when you think, let's talk about schleps for a second. Schleps are, you know, taking Metro North or one of those railroads that are forever crashing into other railroad cars or off the tracks or into cars at intersections, or they're running out of conductors to run the trains, you know, during rush hour. I mean, that, and at the cost of several hundred dollars a month. And then you have to get out of wherever you are in the suburbs and still drive your car home. I think that's a schlep. You know, getting on the N train and going to Coney Island is probably not a schlep. It's certainly not one stop into the city or two stops into the city. It's maybe 10 to 15 stops, but you're ending up at waterfront property, and it's not the Gowanus Canal.
Well, it does make a point to note that a lot of these places that you might still find some good deals or even deals at all are in the outer boroughs, and they're trying to talk them up and say, look, you know, there's still an opportunity to own in Brooklyn, but you might have to, the trade-off might be, and while it doesn't seem like they're focusing on that, the commute, I can see a time or a day when they'll actually reverse that marketing strategy and say, why do you want to live downtown Brooklyn? It's so close to work. Why do you want to be in the work so soon? You could live in the outer boroughs, and it affords you a nice, leisurely, stress-free commute where you can take time and read a book and then get in. And then when you come home, you're in a more spacious or a more open environment. So I could see where they might start using that as the tactic and start looking at it from a psychological angle, like work is just going to give you more stress. Why do you want to be closer to work?
You know, and you do. You look around at people who are taking the subways, and they're either doing email, reading an e-book, or reading a paperback book, or listening to music, or watching a show on their phone. And it is a little, it's a half hour to an hour's worth of peace and quiet that nobody's really disturbing you. You know, and that you can concentrate on something without phones and texts and emails popping up. You can just kind of focus on something and get something accomplished. You can make the subway ride not a schlep, but, you know, something productive. Maybe we should work on a short book of how to get the most out of your subway ride. That could be a project for us, Jason.
Yeah. Look, hey, people. I always tell people when they ask about the commute, right, the commute into the city, and they say, well, I'd say, you know what? It is. I hate to use the phrase, it is what it is, but if you live in Brooklyn, if you live in New York, and you commute any amount of time, you almost get kind of numb to it and used to it. You don't really notice it as much, and then once you're in it, and you're in, it seems like you find these things to distract you from it, where you do take advantage of that time, or you use that time as a kind of a detox, if you will. It's odd to think of riding mass transit as a way to kind of detox from work, but in a lot of ways, you find something. So the commute itself, really, I think you're going to find, and you have been finding, that it's not a as negative a selling point, or it won't be as negative a selling point when you look at, do I want to pay exponentially more for a 20-minute shorter or a half-hour shorter commute? What is that commutation time worth in real dollars? And then when you get to a point where, if I want to buy at all, if I want to be able to buy at all, do I want to really make that a sticking point? And I think that we're seeing less and less now that as we start to expand out more outward, we're going to get people who are like, hey, if I'm going to make my move, I might have to just suck it up and instead of a 30 or 40 minute commute, I might have to do an hour and 15 commute.
Yes, and end up in a beautiful community of that, having to jump on a suburban train and then take your car from the lot to your house. So there is something to be said for areas on, they call them southern Brooklyn now, that you do have waterfront.
Our next story is from CNBC, and this has now reached the folks at CNBC's radar. We talked about this off and on over the past year plus about the L train and the shutdown. Now we're looking at we're beyond the what might happen or what could happen to all the people that weren't able to escape and then are now trapped on the subway line. What they're doing to cope with the fact that the L train is going to be worked on, and how they're going to some things that they're doing to kind of maybe soften the blow.
Well, it is kind of hard to believe how tens of thousands of people can be moved by buses, that used to be moved by trains. So it is really a Herculean task. I do get a kick out of, they're saying report to your local coffee shop for Wi-Fi and work from there. I couldn't you stay in your apartment and work?
Seems like a plug for some local businesses.
Yes. It's great for coffee shops, but I always find that, I guess couldn't you work at your desk in your home and with internet access? It's not like they don't have internet access in their houses. So you're going to see a lot of people probably, I guess the term is telecommuting, working from home, now that much of the stuff is done on the internet and over the phone, not too much in-person, need for in-person, show-up type of thing. But, moving tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of people above ground that used to go below ground is going to be pretty a daunting task. I don't know what your thoughts are on this.
Well, I think it's an interesting. I always say that there's no shortage of stories when we're talking about Brooklyn real estate, and there's never an end to the types of how-to lists that have been created, and this is just another example of how to cope with living in Williamsburg now that the L train. Some of the solutions are a little out there. I guess you're expecting if I'm a resident in Williamsburg, what are some practical things? Going to the coffee shop at Wi-Fi, I guess you could have come up with that yourself or working from home. The ritzy apartment with building perks. Now I'm going to have to buy an upgrade. In order to continue working, I'm going to have to upgrade my living space. Do I want to move out is another alternative, but the moving out, they're saying, is also affording maybe people with the opportunity to buy, to move in to the area because maybe there's some good deals. I love when you get all the way down to the bottom of the story where they say, we'll make alternate travel plans. So you're thinking of that might be the number one solution that they try and give you. You're like waiting for that, well, if I can't take the L train, what am I going to do? And then they hit you with, Well, just, you know, try and figure out another way to travel, another mode of transportation.
Yes, I'm sure they will figure it out. In fact, they, you know, somebody comments in this article, did people forget that there are the J and the G line also in the vicinity, although it might not be right around the corner from them. It's not like they are stranded and really have no way to get anywhere. Yes, it's going to be inconvenient, bus to a train or walk a further distance to a train. But think about, you know, for instance, if the R train went down here. I don't think we can't walk, you know, 15 minutes and get anywhere. This is, you know, all by itself. So I guess we got to pray that the R train, you know, keeps running. But, you know, in the middle of Brooklyn where they are, there are alternate trains. The city's going to go out of its way to provide, you know, bus service. And people are just going to come up with either ride-sharing ideas or drive a little place and park their car, jump out, go into another subway, you know, line, ride their bike to another location.
I'm surprised this didn't spur an influx of the city drilling more of those city bike stands into every street corner down in Williamsburg, so that they could make a buck off of this too.
Yeah, they'll right. Yeah, they'll come to the rescue. There'll be a bike stands on like every you know, block.
Our next story, we're coming to close to the end, but we're gonna go through the next two quickly, as they're both aspirational and good news stories. The real deal. They both come from the real deal. The top agent named in Brooklyn, Brendan Aguayo, says that Brooklyn still has room to grow. So there's still we're still trending upward. We haven't hit our peak yet, and there's still reason to be optimistic and think that we can still hit new heights. And who are we to argue when we talk about all the recaps, the new records that we keep hitting?
And Aguayo is making the point that you know, still a ton of room to expand on Fourth Avenue, you know, from downtown Brooklyn through Sunset Park and Gowanus, which we touched on earlier, is still, you know, still has a ton of land that is a condo ready. And so there, and once again, our whole show tonight is focused on, you know, buy, Brooklyn, still able to expand. And, you know, that's what he's, you know, he's pointing out.
I just wanted to include that. I don't want to spend too much time. Most of the article is about his career, but focusing on his main point. The last of our stories is the real deal as well. Again, it's more of a commercial nature, and again, we talked about residential growth, we've talked about commercial growth, but now we've touched on warehouse growth. But one of the other industries we really haven't featured too much or has not come up too much is hospitality. A German billionaire is planning to put in a 120-room hotel near the Brooklyn Navy Yard. That's an interesting use of that space as well.
I guess he see the Navy Yard is bustling with all sorts of industry and film and event space. So probably a hotel in that vicinity on the other side of the BQE is probably called for. It's probably you probably have to end up on Adam Street in downtown Brooklyn if you wanted to, you know, be in that vicinity. But I guess you can't beat being right next to, you know, the Navy Yard.
Well, I do think it's also selling on, you know, maybe the attraction of Brooklyn as a brand, and, you know, whereas we may look at it as a place to live and a place to, you know, to work in. When we get away, we don't get away to Brooklyn, or we kind of, you know, go outside the city, or, you know, fly south for the winter. But, you know, there's people all over the world who not only want to come and live in Brooklyn, but just want to come and spend even a little bit of time in Brooklyn. And you hear the Airbnb story about how they've taken off because people want cheap alternative to hotels when they're coming to visit New York. Well, maybe there's people who also may want to spend a little bit more and who are a different clientele than those who will do the Airbnb route, and this may serve that purpose for those who want to come and maybe sample a lot of the Made in Brooklyn fare, or just the, you know, visit Brooklyn for its history and its for the innumerable reasons why you would come to see Brooklyn and spend time in Brooklyn.
Right, so, something you can't get in a B&B, Airbnb type setting where you could be in any part of Brooklyn. This is smack dab, you know, next to where a lot of activity is going on, and we haven't heard much about new hotel construction, and here along comes this fellow next to the you know, the Brooklyn Navy Yard. So go figure.
It'd be an interesting story to follow and see where this leads. But a very interesting recap, offering a wide variety of different growth factors in different sectors, and showing that Brooklyn is maybe it's even stronger than we thought. We focus on one area, and then, you know, we get hit with two or three other sectors that where some whopping deals take place, and this just shows the still untapped potential of Brooklyn.
You are right there. Buy, buy, buy. Expand, expand, expand. Build, build, build. I think that was the message for tonight.
Yep. And with that, why don't you take us out of our summer recap episode, Bob?
Well, this concludes tonight's radio program. Thanks to Blog Talk Radio for hosting our show. And this was our summer recap program, focusing once again that Brooklyn is still hot, still expanding. We're even getting warehouses now in Brooklyn. Go figure. And if you buy one of Katzmatidis's apartments out in Coney Island, you're buying in a beachfront community. So there you have it. It doesn't get better than that. This is How's New York signing off. God bless Brooklyn and all of its people. Wishing you a good night and a good morning and a good afternoon. I am your host, Robert Howe.
Like the folks you meet on, like to plant my feet on the Brooklyn Bridge. What a lovely view from heaven looks at you from the Brooklyn Bridge.